choir, wonderful job leading us and drawing us to worship this morning. As we're in the presence of God this morning, it is my prayer that we hear from God, that we listen to His voice. If you're here this morning and you might say, I can hardly remember anything. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, I understand that. But I'm going to prove that we can remember things here in just a moment. But is there people in your life that you don't even have to be looking at them, but you hear their voice and you know who it is? Most of us do, right? Well, I want to see if, and some of you have no clue, some of our younger folks, you won't have no clue, but for the older ones that remember this, I need you to help me out, if you can. I believe you can. Come and listen to my story about a man named Jed, a poor mountaineer, barely kept his family fed. And then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground came a bubbling crude. Oh, that is black gold, Texas tea. Well, the first thing you know, Jed's a millionaire. There you are. Said California is a place you ought to be. There you are. And you all said you couldn't remember nothing. I would about venture a guess that not one of you watched the Beverly Hillbillies before you came to church this morning. How about that? But Jed and them, they got all rich and they moved to California. They listened to the voice of their kinfolks. Does anybody happen to remember their kitchen table or their dining room table, what they used to pass the pots with? Pool stick. That was their... Some of the younger ones are going, I don't know what in the world they're doing. I don't know what they're talking about. That's all right. Because there's a program that comes on today, and there's four chairs, and they face this direction, and somebody comes out, and they start singing. And they like what they hear. What do? Turn their chair, don't they? Well, this morning, it is my prayer that we listen to His voice and we turn our chair to listen to the right voice. Amen. The great chaos and confusion today is that people do not know right from wrong. Any amens? One group says this, the other group says that, and each group gathers together people to agree with their way of thinking. My question is, do we ever stop, hit pause, and begin to think? Do we ever stop and begin to think, or do we just roll with what one group that's trying to get us to agree with them and listen to their voice? Or we go out here and we try to discover all the different information and we make our own decision. Do we actually think right and wrong? I appeal to you today to stop and think, what is truth? And more importantly, what does God say about this? Not popular opinion, not what the pendulum swing is of today, not what other things says, but what does God say? Should that not be the most important answer we get? Who has the truth? Who has the truth, church? Is this Bible worthy of reading and understanding it and believing that it is fully truth? What is the truth today? And I know this is a sensitive subject, but what is the truth about sexuality, marriage, and gender? What does God say? Okay? What does God say? Now I want to give you a heads up. Next week, and I don't know if there'll be less of you here next week or more of you here next week, but I'm going to look at God's Word and answer the question, what does God say about sex? Okay? So some of you may say, my kids are going back. That's okay. What does God say about sex? Okay? Like I said, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. But that's what I've been praying about. I know it's a sensitive subject, but I want to address it by God's Word, what's said. Okay? And some parents may be like that. One parent that they came and they said, we had this talk, you know the talk. And they were discussing, husband and wife was asking, you know, which one of us is going to do the talk? And they were back and forth with it. And the little fella, he came in, he said, I already know what sex is. They said, you do? He said, yeah, it's after 5 and before 7. Parents, I gave you an answer. That's just bonus. I want to address that. God has the truth. God's Word is the truth. And His great design has order. Satan is the liar, and he's the master of confusion and chaos. And we have that big problem existing today. And before we start going there and thinking, I hope this person hears this, or I hope that person hears this, let us ingest where we are with God and adjust those things that we need to adjust and let Him speak to us about anything that we need to confess and repent of as well. Because it's like the window and the mirror. I can look out the window and see other people's problems, but I don't want to look at the mirror and see my own. Hello. So let's do that. So God, are we supposed to judge? Matthew chapter 7. Are we supposed to judge? Let's look at God's Word and see what He says. Matthew 7 verse 1. Judge not that you not be judged. That is widely used. And I will submit to you today that it's widely used out of context. Okay? For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Worldly culture is going to tell us that we should not judge. The Bible's going to tell us that's not correct. We must take it in context, and we'll look at that. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're raving wolves. So if we're not to judge, how do we determine between a sheep and a raving wolf? Okay? You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes and thorns? Or figs of thistles? Again, it's the context of what God is teaching us. Okay? All the way through verse 19, we see the right way to judge that Jesus is teaching us. We are to judge moral behavior. We are to recognize that and know the difference. But we are not to judge hypocritically. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you get what God's saying here? Don't judge hypocritically. Glad you got it. Had to stutter just to get it. But don't judge that way. We should not point at someone else when we have sin that we need to deal with ourselves. We should judge and see the difference, but we should have compassion and have love, not a hateful, mean, judgmental. Some play this sinful deter game. They defer it by calling attention to somebody else's sin to try to elevate themselves so that people won't look at their sin. Hello. Beware of the costumes around you. Judge moral behavior with a posture, listen to me, with a posture of humility and compassion. If the Bible says that for all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, that means all of us, right? Can we agree with that? So then if we've all sinned, can we judge and say, I'm perfect, you're not? No. So do it, recognize it with humility and compassion. How do we recognize those that are in wolf's clothing or dressed in a costume of a raving wolf? How do we judge them if they're dressed up to try to be like a sheep? How do we judge them? How do we recognize that? Well, the Bible will go into it many, many times. They love power. They love themselves beyond what they should. They make up their own rules, and they're extremely narcissistic. They ignore the truth. They refuse to change or even be corrected. And when they're challenged, they get extremely angry. They're good at manipulating to get their way, to use their own power for their own pleasure and their own wealth. They come to you in sheep's clothing. But when challenged, you discover they love themselves, they love the power, they make their own rules, they ignore your truth, they refuse to change, and they get extremely angry when they're challenged. They manipulate, they're crafty in their words. God, give us wisdom to know the difference. The Bible tells us that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Therefore, we cannot fight this battle and discover this upon our own. We have to tap into a relationship with God and discover the truth. Know God's word. It's so vitally important that you know God's word. That will be a help to you in the journey of life to listen to his voice, to discern the Spirit of God. And when you discern the Spirit of God, God will give you the wisdom to know and discern the differences of those that are really wolves dressed up in sheep's clothing. Ladies, I got to give it to you. Men, we need to pay more attention. Wives are probably not ahead of that. Ladies, you all have a God-given discernment. That's why a husband and wife makes a perfect pair. You have a God-given discernment when you see something that gives you warning signs. Okay? I don't know how to describe that. I got many examples of it, but I don't know how that happens. But here's what happens that I've discovered. Warning sign. Karen says you need to be careful. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay. Dave, you need to pay attention. Okay, I got it. We're oblivious. We're like, yeah. Wife's going, wait. No. I thought we was going to Tweetsie. Yeah, we are. Why does the sign say Bulidine? I don't know. Just want to see the leaves or something. Just seems like we're going the wrong way, or seems like listen. That's why the two are compatible. They work it. It should have happened in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, the serpent, more subtle, he's very deceitful than any beast in the field. He said to the woman, "Hath God said?" In other words, did God really say? He placed that doubt. "You shall not eat of the tree of the garden?" Placing that doubt, she came back without the whole truth of God. The tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said not to eat or touch the tree. You'll die. Did God really say, touch the tree? You'll die. They listened to the deceitfulness of Satan. They listened to the wrong voice. Therefore, sin entered the world. Make sure you listen to the voice of God. Stay in God's Word, because it speaks of His character, it speaks of who He is, and it speaks of the truth that applies to our life still today. In John chapter 10, John chapter 10, verse 27. This again is Jesus speaking. In my Bible, it's red lettered. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they what? They follow me. I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Praise be to God. The question to us this morning, are you a born-again sheep? Are you a born-again sheep? If you are, He's your shepherd. He's the one you should study about, read about, listen to, and talk to, and obey what He says, even when it might not make sense. Even when it's out of your comfort zone, listen to Him and obey. Because if you're a born-again sheep, you cannot be surgically changed into a wolf. Okay? If you are a born-again sheep, you cannot be surgically changed into a wolf. Okay? When the culture, the news, the social media, the podcast, the commercial ads, the friends, the leaders bombard you with information, don't take it with God as the gospel. Go to the real gospel truth. Hello? You need to walk with Him, talk with Him, listen to Him, and obey what He says we should do. So listen to that voice. Turn your chair and say, "Okay, God, I'm listening. I'll obey." John chapter 8. So what happens when I turn my chair and I listen to God? John chapter 8. I'm reading God's Word. I'm talking to God. I'm trying my best to obey God and allow the Holy Spirit to fill me so that I can obey God. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. It's important. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples, my followers, indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Is a very important word. I have the peace and the hope and the promises of God. I'm set free. I know where I'm going. This world is not my stopping place. This is the worst it's going to get for me. Where I'm going is much, much, much better. Can't even fathom what it's going to be. But for those who are not a sheep, those who are not born again, this is the best it'll ever be for you. Unless you repent and turn your life over to God and accept what He did for you on the cross, it will not get any better. This will be the best that it'll ever be. What a sad state of being that would be. The important thing is, what does God say? It is not what Google will say. It is not what good friends will say. It's not what the government will say. It's what God says. They may try to tell you that God doesn't really speak and isn't relevant today. That is a lie. People will say, well, that's true for you, but it's not true for me. Well, if it's true for me to punch you in the face, it might not be true for you to receive it. There is a truth. There are rules. It's not about my truth. It's not about your truth. It's about God's truth. Amen? Give you an example. Sheriff deputy was set on duty at a four-way stop. He sat there. A gentleman came through. He slowed down and went on through. Went up, pulled him over, got to the car, and he said, sir, you did not stop at the stop street. You just rolled through. He said, no, I stopped. He said, sir, you have to come to a complete stop. He said, I did. He said, no, you didn't. I'm giving you a warning. You've got to come to a complete stop at that stop street. He drove on. Next day, same cops, same stop street, same individual. Came, did not come to a complete stop, rolled through, went, pulled him over again. He said, sir, I told you yesterday that you must come to a complete stop at this stop sign and move on. He said, I did. He said, no, you didn't. You rolled through. He said, that's the same. He said, rolling through is the same. He said, yes, sir. He said, no, it ain't. Here's a ticket to prove it. Day three. Same scenario, same two people. Sitting watching. Gentleman comes through, does not slow down. This time he goes through a little bit faster. Just looked and went through. He goes over, pulls him over, and rolls the window down. He says, sir, the ticket didn't help you to understand you must come to complete stop. Not just roll through. He said, rolling through is the same. He said, no, it's not. By this time, he was frustrated. He pulled out his billy stick and started hitting him. He said, now, do you want me to slow down or stop? What does God say? Now, God may be speaking to some of us and say, stop, not slow down. Is it important that we stop? Hello? Repentance means I'm turning from and turning to. God has a great design and speaks truth into our lives today. And He's still doing that. Yes, there are some sensitive topics of today. But I want you to know that these people are real people that God made in His image. They have real faces. They have real feelings. We should approach humbly and compassionately. not throwing stuff at them. Don't forget, these people have feelings too. People are locked in bondage and they need to be set free and know the truth of God. So many people are broken. So many people are confused and hurting. God speaks today. His inerrant, infallible word is profitable for every one of us today. What God says is truth. What God's plan is for sexuality and marriage and gender and life morals is still the same and true today. God's plan and design is right. We must listen to His voice and obey and follow Him. David Gibbs, attorney, the Christian attorney that owns a Christian law firm, was in Alaska with one of his other attorneys, and they had finished up the conference there in Alaska, and they had their commercial flight to come back home. When one of the pastors there said, Mr. Gibbs said, I own a private jet, and I'm a pilot. I would be honored if you would just hold on to your commercial ticket and allow me the privilege of flying you and your friend home. He said, that's okay. So we already got our tickets. We're good. And the gentleman was very persistent. And he said, Mr. Gibbs, let me, please. It would be such a blessing to me if you'd allow me to fly you home. David Gibbs reluctantly agreed. He and his other attorney friend got in the jet plane, and he sat beside the pilot and his friend sat in the back. And he was a little apprehensive as they got started and they got up into the clouds, and he was just about to get relaxed and comfortable when the pilot, the pastor, said, I need to tell you something. Sometimes, there are times, not all the time, but sometimes when I get in clouds, I pass out. Would you begin to talk to God at that time? Not much longer than he told him that, he's in the clouds. You can look this up. It's a true story. Not much longer after he told him that, the guy goes, and he's out cold. David Gibbs and his friend says, are we going to die? He said, more than likely. He said, well, get on that thing and talk. He got on the thing and he began to say, hello, is anybody there? Air traffic controller. Sir, do you not know aircraft etiquette? No, I absolutely know nothing about this plane or flying or anything. He said, sir, you need to listen to my voice. I can see you. You can't see me. And you need to listen to every detail that I share with you. If he said that to you and you're in his position, would you listen to the details and be precise at what you were going to do? So would I, as I prayed. David Gibbs continued to listen to this man. And he says, sir, you're about 5 miles from running into a mountain. I need you to pull back and veer left. Please do this now. And he did. Closer, I'll make the story short. Closer to the airport, air traffic controller said, Mr. Gibbs, you need to listen to everything that I say, please. I can see you. You can't see me. You're going to need to trust me so that I can get you home safely. Do you hear what he's saying? I can get you home safely. He said, I need you to push in. And as you push in, you're going to see lights. That's the runway. Dr. Gibbs, it's in the shape of a cross. I need you to lower this plane. And he told him exactly how. I need you to land this plane at the foot of that cross and coast in. Dr. Gibbs said, I skipped it 5 times, but I got home safely. And he listened to the voice the whole time. It's important. It's important. We listen to the voice. They went to the hotel. They needed to get some rest, obviously. They got to the hotel and was in the room. They went to the door, opened the door, and just as soon as the man spoke, Dr. Gibbs said, you're the voice. You're the voice. He said, yes, sir, I'm the air controller. Thank you for listening to my voice that you safely got home. Some of us need to listen to the voice. Not only that you arrive home safely, but you arrive in this journey that we're on that's filled with chaos and confusion, that you need to listen to the voice of truth and act on it. I don't know where you are in life or what you're struggling with, but I know if you'll listen to God's voice and get in God's word, He will instruct you until the day that you arrive home. And He knocks on your door, and it's your time to go. Either by rapture or by death, and you meet Him face to face, and you recognize His voice when He grabs you by your shoulders and hugs you and says, welcome home. Father, as we